negative term, a negative way of looking at it. And it basically has to do with your sexuality. In other words, how you perform in bed with a partner. Okay. In other words, you may be a passive or on the bottom one particular moment or one day or one week. And then the next day or week or hour, you might do a complete turnaround. You want to become very aggressive and you want to take your partner for a ride. So, why the term is considered to be negative is because it was considered to be a situation that was more looked at for butch. In other words, the way a butch would classify another butch if she did that, or if she were heard to be doing that, or did it one time in her life. Okay. It was a stigma because there were certain types of qualifications if you're going to be a butch, and that was one of the things you did not do. Now, one of the reasons why I don't consider this being a negative term because I never came out and said that I was a butch. And so if I'm not a butch, then how can it be negative? Okay. So this is how I look at the term as a suna, first of all. It's someone who's considered, as I said, all these other terms. But I don't look at it as being a switch hitter or being androgynous or any of those other terms. I have a new term. And I call it I call a suna a woman for all seasons. Now, a lot of people want to know, well, how can you tell a suna when you look at one? You know, when you look at a butch or a bulldagger, you know right away. You know, I mean, damn, hell, you know, you see somebody with these big old shoes on, you know, or the shark skin suit and the hat tipped to the side, hair slicked back. You know, one earring, never have two little, you know, loops, but you gotta have little studs or whatever. And looking hard, never smiling, never see a bulldagger smile. Never see no teeth nowhere. Then on the other hand, you know, you look at a femme, very, 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 very dainty. Always see teeth, always see teeth. Okay. So that, yeah, no problem. But then everybody asks, well, how can you tell sooner when you as soon as walking down the street? Well, you have to look for certain telltale signs, okay? And I'll tell you what those little telltale signs are, because I made a little list. First of all, a suna tends to have a mixed wardrobe. You ever go to a suna's house? And you look in the closet, you know. You ever go to a suitor's house and look in a wardrobe, look in a closet, you know? You see, you know, you might see pants. Then you see a couple of dresses, a couple of pantsuits, a couple of skirt suits, see some heels, see some boots, see some sneakers, you see some high heel sandals, you see some flat sandals, you see some very dainty slippers, you see some flip-flops. That's one of the telltale signs. Another telltale sign is when a suna is walking down the street. Okay, and if you see a woman in high heels and she is strutting instead of walking, because there's certain things that you know you get used to doing. When you're wearing flats, you're used to wearing, you know, just putting your whole foot down on the ground. But when you're wearing heels, you gotta watch that kind of stuff, because you might end up, you know, flowed out in the middle of the street someplace, you know, foot goes out from under you. So you, generally a suna is very conscious the way she walks. She may look down at her feet to make sure, you know, one's going to put it out, you know, and very, very delicate about it. Okay? Because a suna is very conscious when she's wearing dresses or wearing a skirt when she's wearing heels. Okay. Also, the size of heel is very important because you can't really start out with a very thin spike heel. That's like almost being on stilts. It's usually a shorter heel or stack heel. Okay? In terms of hairstyles are very difficult because the hairstyle can vary. It can vary from very, very short too very, very long, and many times it would be braided. You know, even with today's styles especially, it's very difficult because of the cornrows and the beads and everything. That tends to be very common to everyone, so it's not too, you know, it's not easy to tell someone, you know, in terms of their being a femme or a sunnah by the particular hairstyle the person happens to be wearing. I know a few women who could be classified as sunnahs who like to wear their hair bobbed in terms of being straightened and sort of waved to the side, you know, and that's to them is very, very becoming. I know others, sunnahs who like to wear their hair very, very long. Others like to wear their hair braided or very, very short, so it's not too easy to tell by looking at one's hairstyle. In certain gathering places, like bars or whatever, a sunnah will tend to speak to everyone. In other words, they don't care how you're dressed. In other words, you could be wearing a suit, you know, built with the hat stuck to the side, looking like a gangster lean, or else you can be wearing a dress, you know, heels. A sunnah will come up to and be very polite and pleasant to either one. In other words, it's a type of situation where, you know, it doesn't matter how you address, because they're not really into the very, very peculiarities of being on either extreme. Okay, in other words, certain things you're not supposed to do if you're a butch, and certain things you're not supposed to do if you're a femme. In other words, two femmes are not supposed to dance together. Two butches are not supposed to dance together. You know, if you're a sunnah, what the hell? You don't want to go to bed with the woman in the bar. All you want to do is get a dance. So, you know, what's the big idea? What's the problem? You know, you got two good feet, they work. Let's go out there and dance. But, in other words, but you're not supposed to do that. And a lot of times, you know, you get a lot of slack. People say, this person doesn't know her place. You know, she's trying to, you know, cause trouble, you know, cause confusion. You know, we got this thing all laid out, and we know our places, we know everything, what the deal is. And here comes this person off the street, she's going to mess up everything. in terms of conflicts, why a lot of times sunnahs can cause conflicts in a relationship, or what happens when you get into a relationship with a sunnah, if you are either a classified butch or a classified femme. Yes, there are conflicts. There are definitely conflicts. And the conflicts tend to stem from at least the way I perceive it, that the person on either extreme, in other words, if you're a femme or a butch, you are considered on the extremities. If you are a sunnah, you are closer to the middle. In other words, you can give and take. It's almost a situation in a relationship like that where if you are a butch, you cannot give. In other words, you cannot go across that barrier because all of a sudden, you know, you may be, compromising yourself, your ideas, your feelings, you know, your attitudes. And the same thing with a femme. In other words, it's just so far that you can go that you allow your partner to, you know, take liberties or whatever. So that there can be problems like this. There are some other subtle problems which could exist. For example, dress. Okay, say you're going out someplace. That's a classic example. I was going to a club, and I was picking up my friend, who was a butch, in my car. And I picked her up, and we were going back to the car. And she said, give me the keys, I'll drive. Now, you do not drive my car. That is my car. I paid for that sucker, and I will drive it. Now, it's not so much that she said, you know, that she wanted to drive, because if she had said, you know, can I drive the car, or, you know, my friend's going to be there, you know. So, you know, gave me an explanation. I might have said, yeah, sure, you know, go ahead and take the car. You know, I kind of like to sit back a while and, you know, let somebody else do the driving. But the point that she said, give me the keys, I will drive, she gave me an order. Now, to a sunnah, now maybe it's because I'm an Aquarius or whatever, I'm just plain cantankerous, I'm just obstinate or whatever, but I learned a long time ago there's only two things in this world that I have to do. One is, I don't have to pay taxes. One is to be black, and the other one is to die. Aside from those two things, there's nothing else I got to do in this world. included with that as good as one of my car keys. So then I said, this is my car. I know how to drive it. And, then she came up with some excuse. Well, you got heels on. You can't drive in heels. I've driven with heels, 6-inch heels on with that car. And I said, no, I can drive. Then I got obstinate. In other words, she already gave me an order, so already I'm on my guard. I'm already defensive. And then she's going to come up with these excuses why I have to sit on the passenger side. Not because I'm a competent driver or weren't a competent driver. But the fact was that I was now in a dress and I had heels on just to please her now, because I knew the woman was a butch. I didn't want to give her no problem. I want to have a nice time. I like the woman. So I wore a dress that night. Had my heels on, had my hair fixed nice, had my earrings on, had my perfume on, had my jewelry on. I was gonna have me a good time. And then she went and said, "Give me the car keys." All of a sudden, I said,
that Aquarius guy,
leaned back on my heels and I said, "No, I will drive." And so she looked at me. And then she kind of smiled a little bit, and said, okay, you go ahead and drive, Mama, okay. So, just let it slide off a bit, But I could see she was a little pissed because I didn't let her drive. And I always think about, things like this, where you have a situation where if you are sooner, it is easier for a sooner to many times compromise, especially when you're dealing with someone who is really set in their ways. Okay? Because again, as I said, we're dealing with an extreme. You're dealing with someone who cannot go past that level, go past that line, I should say. Now, to be a sooner is not to say that you're 50-50. That's not true. Okay, if anyone says, well, you half this and half that, or half this time you like to be on the bottom, half this time you like to be on top, that's a lie. Okay, that's not true. Okay? It's a matter of being able to please your mate, because that's all it is anyway. You want to get along with the person you're with. You don't want to cause no problems. All you want to do is you respect your woman and have your woman respect you. Now, if your woman is not in a position where she cannot respect you, then I'm saying, I can't change. If there's so much compromise I'm going to do, and we're going to hit that point where I'm going to say, I can't hack this anymore. You cramping my style now. And then we're going to have to get to a point where we can't make it, and we got to go our separate ways or whatever. So it's going to be, in a sense, it depends on the person who is classified as a sooner, whether or not she can compromise to the wishes of her mate. In some instances, it cannot happen, where you have someone who is really, really, really in their little niche, and they begin to say, well, you have to do this, and you have to do that because certain sense, I want you to dress this way because, this is the way I like my women to dress. Okay. Now, if this occurs, as I said before, many times women can go along with this. They can go almost to the extreme where they can be, say, 95% femme. But there's always going to be that 5% is going to be sticking out there someplace, ready to jump out wild one night or one day because they're going to have it. They just got to the point where that's it. I'm going to, this is my Independence Day, and I'm going to let it all hang up. But in everyday life, I'm going to wind this up now. In everyday life, it's not really that difficult, because the point is to feel natural and to feel very comfortable in your position. I feel very comfortable. I feel very comfortable when I'm wearing jeans. I feel very comfortable when I'm wearing a dress. I feel that I'm attractive either way. So that is the basic point of the matter, that I'm very attractive and I'm very pleasing when I have on a three-piece suit, which I may not put on tonight when I go out to this lavender affair, or I feel very, very comfortable and attractive when I wear a gown, okay, because I know how to act either way, okay, and I feel comfortable either way, okay. Some situations may warrant that you have to wear a dress. There's some situations even in your work, like in my work, it is preferable that I wear a dress or a skirt rather than wear pants, especially when I started working. I'm a teacher. And your first year of your teaching is almost like you're on a probationary period. And my boss used to have a fit all the time when I came in there wearing pants. He didn't like women to wear pants. So I like 3 days a week I would wear a dress, and the other 2 days a week I would wear a skirt, just to be, you know, I would wear pants, because, you know, I figure, well, I can't wear a skirt 5 days a week, because I'm not going to let into them that much. I'll compromise, I'll wear 3 days a week. After my years were over, and I was an intern, and I'm a regular, you know, instructor there now. In fact, I'm the boss there now, so I wear anything I damn please. And, you know, so that's it. Sometimes you have to, you know, compromise your wearing apparel. And sometimes if you're, say, if you're in that extreme point of view, where if you are a butch and you're in a position or in a job and your boss says, well, you know, I don't like women to wear pants, you must wear a skirt. And this could be your career, this could be your, you know, your livelihood, and you were really in that little niche, and you said, I can't wear no dress, and, you know, so if I walk out here and my friends see me, I'll be a disgrace, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, to hell with this job, you know, I'd rather go on welfare than wear, you know, that's really too extreme, you know. And the same thing if you're a femme, you know, the idea, you know, certain things you can't, you know, you have to be able to do, and you can't just say, well, you know, I'll break my fingernails if I touch that distributor cap or whatever. You know, if you own a car, you go out to get down in that car and take care of that car. You know, I can't change the air filter because y'all getting, you know, dirt up under my fingernails or something like that. You know, you don't need to have a car. So, things like that. Virginia doesn't have a car. Certain things you're going to have to be able to do, and so if you don't feel comfortable in it, then a lot of it's going to cause internal conflict in yourself. But I feel that if you can do these things and do these things, you know, without worrying about who's going to be talking about you behind you, because I don't give a damn. I know who I am. I feel comfortable as I am, and I can walk down the street and feel very comfortable. Either one day I'll be wearing a dress, the next day I'll be wearing pants, I'll be wearing jeans or whatever, and person will, in a sense, after they get to know me, will begin to respect me because they know it's not going to change in terms of my disposition. In other words, I'm still a good person. I still do this. I still do that. It doesn't really determine what kind of a person you are by the way you dress. Okay, you can be a shit of a person and be a most, you know, hellfire femme or the most dynamite butch out there and be a shit of a person. Okay, so that in terms of dress, that has nothing to do with it. Really, it has to do with what's in here, and this is what I deal with.
The last panelist we're going to hear from tonight is Anita Cornwell, and she will speak as a woman on women identified.
Thank you. Well, let me say right off the bat, I know this is going to be controversial, and I'm going to get it in a hurry and get it out of the way and let the fur fly. But I do think it's something that, you know, that should be said, that at least should be heard. As far as I've been able to discover, the first paper ever done on the woman identified woman was written about a decade ago by a group of New York women who called themselves the Radical Lesbians. Now, they had some pretty tough shit to say, I must admit. They believe that lesbianism, like male homosexuality, is a category of behavior possible only in a sexist society, characterized by rigid sex roles and dominated by male supremacy. Those sex roles dehumanize women by defining us as a supportive, serving caste in relation to the master caste of men. They also said that lesbian is the word, the label, the condition that holds women in line. When a woman hears that word tossed her way, she knows she has crossed the terrible boundary of her sex role, and she changes her behavior to regain social approval. They also believe that the word lesbian was also used to keep women confined to our dehumanized feminine role. But the term, and also it was used to prevent us from forming any primary attachments or associations among ourselves. Now, this is where the shit's going to fly. And of utmost importance, the radical lesbians believe that women must withdraw our emotional and social and sexual support from men and work out various alternatives for those energies in our own lives. They felt that we must begin to disengage ourselves from male-defined response patterns because, irrespective of where our love and sexual energies flow, if we are male-identified in our heads, we cannot realize our autonomy as human beings. Now, I suppose many of you are saying, well, so what has that got to do with us as black and third world lesbians? Well, let me tell you, it has everything to do with us as black and third world lesbians, because no matter what the color of our skins or what our sexual preferences may be, in a male-dominated society, all women are relegated to an inferior position. And in a white racist society, those women who are not white have an added burden to bear. Yet, this is another one, this is where a lot of conflicts come, see. Most black women have not embraced the principles of the feminist movement for several reasons. Most of them are apt to come on with a bit about, black women don't need women's lib. We've been liberated for years. I mean, which of course is ridiculous. Or they'll say something like, well, the women's lib movement is run by white middle class women and they don't understand our problems. Now, that there's a lot of truth in that. But yet, those same black women, they don't think there's anything odd about believing that the civil rights movement, which is dominated by black middle-class men, is going to be their salvation. I mean, they think that, you know, that everything's going to be hunky-dory there. But one of the major problems facing black women is their inability to come to terms with sexism in black men. In fact, all too often they seem to hold fast to the idea that there's no such thing as sexism, at least not as far as their men are concerned. And even when a black woman is spunky enough to admit that, yes, black men are just as sexist as other men, then she's apt to think that for the good of the race, she has to continue to submit to black male oppression. Now, just why is it that we have held on to such self-destructive habits and beliefs for so long? One of the major tools used by those in power in their highly successful efforts to intimidate women and keep us in our place is the mass media, especially television. In fact, 2 years ago, even TV Guide admitted as much when a critic wrote, in the past few years, programs about rape have been coupled with enough shows about prostitutes and call girls to make it appear that every fourth woman in America is either a hustler or a victim of violent sex. Mm-hmm. And the writer went on to say that on TV, the subject of rape has been almost universally used to exploit and mm-hmm. to titillate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also, what about all those movies we flock to, especially if Sidney Poitier or James Earl Jones is starring? Now, how many truly positive, non-stereotypical roles do you see any women of any color playing on the silver screen? And of course, with all the freedom of expression allowed today, Hollywood's exploitation of women is more violent and more vicious than even the most pessimistic feminists would have thought just 15 years ago. I mean, we wouldn't have thought that was possible. I think this is of major importance. I think one of the greatest disadvantages that young black women have is the astonishing lack of feminist role models in our community. All too often, those popular black women who are given a lot of media exposure are just downright embarrassing when they start talking about male relationships. For example, Jean Kahn, the jazz singer, told an interviewer that success had cost her 2 marriages. Now, this is what she said. Having to walk in the shadow of a wife can be devastating, even for the most secure man. It just gnaws away at the male personality. Now, wait a minute. As if that wasn't bad enough, she then said, I know that the male nature succumbs to a subservient woman and I can be a very subservient, submissive woman. And this was in Essence magazine. I mean, this just wasn't something I found. So this was Essence, the January issue. But dig this, also. And this is some advice that Lena Horne once offered young black women.
Oh, no.
No. Okay.
Say it. Put it on. Come on, Lena.
No.
Read
yes.
It.
No. Yes.
Read it.
Well, I mean, you know, she said we must be spiritual sponges absorbing the racially inflicted hurt of our men. Nah, I guess that's why she married a white man the second time around, huh? You know, like she got tired of absorbing all that shit, huh? Okay, now here's the last little bit. Now, listen. Finally, what about our black male leaders? Are they really, as one black woman once said, straight out of the Ladies' Home Journal when it comes time to dealing with women? Well, I once heard Martin Luther King say, he was talking to a mostly male audience, he said, what our struggle is about is that we want to take our women out of the white man's kitchen and bring them home so they can take care of us. All right, now, so maybe that, you know, from going from one kitchen to another, maybe that's some improvement as far as he was concerned. And then, you know, when Whitney Young Jr. was executive director of the National Urban League, this is what he wrote. Ways must be found to free the Negro male at every social level to assume responsibility to the limits of his talent. The entire history of the treatment of the Negro is a travesty upon his masculinity. Now, I don't know how many of you out there got some masculinity, but I mean, I don't think he's talking about most of us, you know? Of course, I mean, you know, you could just go on all night talking about stuff like that, but I mean, I think that most of us realize that if we want to change our society and make it more equal, I mean, we're just going to have to do it ourselves, get together with other women and just do it ourselves. Because, I mean, I think if we wait for men, we're going to be waiting a long time. And, I mean, some just saying that doesn't say, I mean, you know, just because somebody says something, it doesn't say you have to hate men. You can hate male oppression. And anybody who says that you know, there's no such thing as male oppression, I mean, I just don't know where you've been. Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'd like us to open it up now for discussion. Agreements, questions, screams, cries, complaints, so forth.
I have a question for Anita. I was just wondering if you would, since the topic that most of the other speakers were talking about had to do with like role playing and identities, if you could relate to some of what you said more specifically to that topic. How it does relate.
What do you mean? How role playing affects?
How you see this through?
What I've just said.
How this affects role playing?
Well, I think that's one of the ways that we don't fight for our freedom. I mean, is some of the women here have admitted getting into roles? It keeps you in a rut. And that and you know, you can't go over here and you can't go there, you gotta stay here. And that's how society keeps women in line, is by keeping them in that role. And of course now we turn right around and do the, you know, if we, you know, a lot of lesbians, we'll turn around and do the same thing. You know, you can't do this. This is my territory. And see, while you're doing all that, in other words, if you're going to be that structured, then your mind just won't go but so far. And then I just don't see you see anyone branching out saying, well, you know, this is an oppressive society and women are oppressed, and what am I going to do about it? You're so busy staying in your little rut.
Could I answer just myself to what Anita just said on that? First of all, Diane was the only one that said that, she based hers on dressing. And I feel qualified to address myself to this issue because, as I said, I am a butch, will die a butch, and I hope they bury me as a butch. But it has nothing to do with any style of dress. If the occasion arises, then because Sybil, my longtime friend, I have furs, I wear gowns, if the occasion so arises because, first of all, I don't want my lover to go anywhere that I would not feel comfortable in going. And if she went to some sort of an affair, family affair, a large affair, a church affair, something like that, where it called for a gown or a fur or something like that, I would not presume to go in a tuxedo. I would wear a gown and things just like her. To me, being a butch, a femme, a sooner, a futch, or whatever you may, wherever you may place yourself in life, is purely a state of mind. Because once you take off those clothes, be they combat boots or evening gowns or whatever else you have, there is only you to perform. And you have to perform adequately enough to satisfy your lover, or it makes no difference what role you play, you will be playing it by yourself. And then to, they also made a mention about being on the top today and on the bottom tomorrow. That I don't even equate that with being a butch or a femme, because even a man will let his woman ride him. There's a position, you understand, anytime that if a butch is so insecure in her...